With me today is musician, classical musician, conductor, and composer Lee Johnson. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us today, Mr.
Pleasure
Johnson.
Pleasure to be with you.
I appreciate it very much. Wondered if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and, I guess, why you're talking to us on a Grateful Dead music show.
Well, of course, as a composer, classical music is my thing. Orchestra is pretty much the cream of the crop for a guy like me. But I had the opportunity to meet someone whose cream of the crop is the Grateful Dead, and his name is Mike Adams, and out of Atlanta.
Uh-huh.
And he approached me in 95, just after Jerry's death, and said, I got this idea, you want to hear about it? And so it went from an idea and to the recording, but the intervening time was a lot of listening, a lot of talking, and a lot of studying, because I had to learn all about the Grateful Dead in order to be to even feel remotely qualified to be the guy to do this.
Well, I imagine it took quite a bit of listening. And what kind of music did you listen to? The whole oeuvre? I mean, the whole recorded output, or did you also listen to live tapes? Or
all kinds of live. Of course, I bought everything that was published and had a whole shopping bag full of stuff that was my library. I towed it around everywhere. And then lots of Deadhead friends of Mike Adams became new friends of mine, and so we'd gather up and listen and tell stories about what happened at this and that concert, what they heard, what happened, and it's just so that I could get the opportunity to be there as much as possible, because I grew up with other composers, other Dead composers, but they just had different last names, like Beethoven and stuff like that.
Of course.
There you go.
And, just so our listeners know, the project we're talking about is Dead Symphony No. 6. I assume this is the sixth symphony that you've composed. Is that correct?
Yes, and I've actually finished 8 altogether now. So Dead Symphony No. 6 is the only Grateful Dead symphony that exists for me, and the only one that exists, I guess, in the world right now. So it's quite a big step for the music of the Grateful Dead to migrate into the concert hall in this way. So it's very, very exciting.
I think it's very exciting because it kind of, at least to me, it kind of confirms my feeling that the Grateful Dead music was more than just an entertainment or a body of entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess you got that feeling because you took on the project.
I wanted to make sure that we took enough time for me to not just get the vibe, but then for the music to kind of infuse with my creative soul, so that when it came out as a new composition, it would be hand in glove related to all the opportunity to be at a concert, like the Finiculi Finicula warm up music.
I think that's delightful. That's a great way to start the disc or the symphony. Is there a particular Grateful Dead composition that motivated you to write a Dead symphony?
My radar was up looking for the first piece that would kind of slay me and also make me be reassured that the symphony would be a success. And because I have to have a certain degree of confidence that this very, very long journey of a symphonic composition can mm-hmm. not just start but have a successful end. And that piece that opened all those doors was China Doll.
Mm-hmm. And it actually, on the symphony itself, it's sort of the penultimate moment there at the end, isn't it?
Yes, and it was actually the first movement I composed, but I only composed it to the halfway point and then stopped, and then waited nearly 10 years to finish that particular movement and then let it be, as you said, the penultimate, which really is the final word in the symphony. And so it played a very special role in my Grateful Dead education and the kind of the spiritual journey of it, and then I want to make sure that that experience was something I offered then back again to the listener.
I'm also curious about some of the other choices. I mean, you've got Estella Blue, which is, you do a fantastic rendition of, or the orchestra does. In that piece, it seems a bit more improvisational at times.
Well, actually, there is. That's the only movement that has orchestral improv, which if you think of the orchestra that's playing this, the Russian National Orchestra, and then through translators, I was very, you know, I guess, concerned that that concept could be pulled off with an orchestra that was, you know, not native to our country here. So they politely listened to my careful description of what we're going to try to do, and as soon as they got the chance to just play and not listen to me talk, they were just dying to do it. They had so much fun,
really?
And they were so ready, and they bought into the concept of this piece so early on in the first rehearsal that you could tell. And they even said, this is a very special project. We will give you everything we've got on it.
So they were very enthusiastic about playing this music.
They went head over heels for it.
And amazing.
And I'm not exaggerating, because they were so forward with their enthusiasm. I just need to share it rather than brag on it, because
uh-huh.
they just gave, truly, they bought into the whole experience. Well, they're kind of a kindred spirit, too, that the first independent orchestra in Russia's history. They're a Grammy-winning orchestra. They tour all the time. They're just world-class, but they are on the world stage, and this was a great, great experience for them, too.
Well, good. It certainly comes through their enthusiasm and their professionalism in the playing.
Thank you.
Another song that struck me as unique and in the arrangement was "If I Had the World to Give." How did that come about, being arranged that way?
Well, the three of the movements, you picked one up right away. "If I Had the World to Give" and "Sugar Magnolia" mm-hmm. and "Mountains of the Moon" are close to being transcriptions.
That means
I left the original song form pretty much intact and didn't try to deviate too much. I mean, there's plenty of deviation and plenty of other compositional things going on, but I tried to make sure that those were mostly veiled or masked.
Mm-hmm.
But "If I Had the World to Give" is, those three movements are actually embedded encores into the symphony. You could actually remove them all and play them at the end of the symphony after the whole symphony's done, but I put them where they are in the symphony to kind of give what might be a new listener to the genre of a symphony mm-hmm. or symphony mm-hmm. orchestra a chance to maybe breathe a little bit,
okay.
kind of feel at home.
Right, right. Well, it certainly serves that purpose because it allows the listener to take a step back, as many times the Grateful Dead themselves did in the course of performing a concert. They would bring out a song just to sort of slow the tempo down or give the listener, I think, a chance to catch their breath.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it works really well that way, and I really like the string treatment on that song, and I'll play it here for our listeners in just a moment.
It's a classy piece. It surprised me the when the quartet, that was the last thing to be recorded because you let the orchestra go as their mm-hmm. parts are through. So when that piece was done, it was time to shake hands and hug necks and tell folks thank you. So that was a really neat send-off.
You said it took you, you worked on this 10 years or so, is that correct? I mean, off and on.
Off and on. First, in 95, the idea was brand new, and of course, lots of listening. I did a couple movements as kind of trial movements, and then played them for, some very mm-hmm. seasoned deadheads in the Atlanta area, and I think mm-hmm. we shared it with some discs going out across the country, and then kind of took that as a report card, and then went... continued my study, but then just trusted myself that if I just stayed in this path, it would get done and done well, hopefully.
Oftentimes, intuitions that way work well, don't they?
Yeah, and you have to trust yourself at some point. But
absolutely.
I knew that I didn't want to give myself permission to do that until I had done what I thought was homework. So about 10 years mm-hmm. is pretty good.
Yeah, and I can't imagine how long it would take to score one of these songs for an orchestra. It must be a pretty intensive amount of work involved.
Well, there's so many variations of every song mm-hmm. because they all they're being reinvented in concert over and over again. So just to take it all in and to have some kind of point of view that keeps in mind the performance here, the performance there, so that when you set it to paper, which means it's not going to change too much from that point forward,
mm-hmm.
it would embrace as much of the life of that song as possible, and then put it in context of the song that's going to precede it and follow it.
Uh-huh.
The mood, the tempo, the emotional state you're in, all that has to be factored into a symphony.
I imagine you probably had a number of other songs that we didn't get to, that you didn't get to include in the symphony that you worked on, and it must have been difficult to try to pare it down to this.
Well, the beautiful thing is, after China Doll opened the door, lots and lots of tunes fell into, hey, this tune can work, this can work. The list got very, very long, but I had to, bring it down to a manageable size.
Sure.
So some folks are saying, hey, what are you going to do next, and have you thought about this tune, that tune? A lot of the tunes that I've had mentioned are still on that list. I just left them there kind of in secret, thinking, well, maybe there will be some other pieces and some other requests have come in, but before I even do anything like that, I'm going to wait to see what the Grateful Dead community does with this piece, and then the symphonies that are kind of calling now, saying, hey, can we play this? I want to see those orchestras meet their audience too, and then kind of take it all in and do something.
I think that would be
in the future.
That would be wonderful if this can get performed live. So you're in discussions, or you've discussed a little bit with some orchestras about this?
We will have an announcement we'll make on deadsymphony.com soon, but soon for the orchestra world is not as soon as I suppose we would like it to be. They move
sure.
a little different, and understandably so. They involve so many people.
Calendars and so on. Yeah.
But that we're wanting the premiere to be with a special orchestra that would have, hopefully, a history with the Grateful Dead. A lot of times there are partnerships all over the place, so we're trying to find the one that would celebrate the most appropriately.
Well, it's going to be a special treat for that audience, because, and I'm not exaggerating, I was surprised when I first saw the CD. I wondered whether or not it was coherent treatment, but the symphony, it's not misnamed. I believe that you've put the songs together in a way that tells the listener it gives the listener a coherent experience, put it that way.
Sounds like you know your classical music.
Well, not as much as I'd like, but it's a pleasure to try to introduce this to our audience, and I'm absolutely certain they're going to enjoy it, as well as a wider Grateful Dead audience. And I believe it's coming out, up to this point, it's only been available as a download, is that correct? And that's at deadsymphony.com, correct?
Yes, and if you just have your favorite download site, it's there too.
Uh-huh.
But you can find out, you can also pre-order the copy. The hard copy CD is out now. I believe the street date's June 12th or June 15th, so we're talking just a couple weeks away. We're signing the first few. I'm afraid to ask how many I'm supposed to sign. I just tell them, just tell me when I'm through.
Okay.
But we want folks to feel like it's a special addition to their prize catalogs and libraries. So, but they can order it now, and we've made a really, really beautiful booklet and told the whole story. And
that's excellent.
Even some classical people come in and do a full analysis of the work. So I think it'd be a real nice thing to have on your shelf and on your rotation.
I think so too. I can highly recommend it. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us, Mr. Johnson, and wish you all the best continued success. And thank you for bringing this music to a orchestral treatment.
My pleasure, and wish you well, too.
And of course, that was Lee Johnson, composer of Dead Symphony No. 6. Dead Symphony No. 6 is available on the net at deadsymphony.com. Thanks so much for listening to our special Dead Pod. See you back here next week.